Good evening, playmates, and welcome to the multi-ball fiesta that is this week's Naked Football Show. In the studio tonight, we welcome back two fans who managed to see the Stoke game through the freeloading prostitution known as Corporate Jolly. And that would be Phil Pritchard.
Hello.
And the Vulture.
Hello. Is it me again?
It is you again, Vulture.
What's going to happen to the old git? Bring him back. Bring back the old git.
Don't encourage him.
How much did he pay you for that? And drafted into the squad at the last minute because of a training ground injury to Captain Philhan Israe's leg. Yeah, bonjour Raimondo. Okay, tonight we'll talk about the Stoke game and of course the multi-ball scam. We'll discuss the imminent arrival of one David Nugent, of course, if he turns up. And of course we'll look forward to next Saturday's trip to St Mary's. So email as usual to studio@icrfm.co.uk or text us on the usual number, which is 07973 851 968. Who wants to start? Philip, do you want to start?
I'd love to.
I thought, as you look completely uninterested, you could start.
Sorry, I was telling my phone off. It'd be highly unprofessional for a phone to ring mid-flow, wouldn't it? So, yes, I'll go if you like. The Stoke game. I thought defensively in the midfield we looked reasonably decent, but the lack of any cut and thrust and penetration up front obviously cost us dear, and we were only ever one defensive lapse away from a defeat, and so it proved. Poor old Dan Harding duffing a clearance to Liam Lawrence, who... as you said, looked up and hit it, and then it went, and 1-0, and no way back, unfortunately.
Vulch,
yeah.
Lou looks stunned with that.
Yeah, Jim Hilton summed it up. One moment of quality won the game for Stoke. It's a bit of a shame because, as Phil said, defensively we were good. We competed in the midfield. Didn't have an awful lot up front, though, I felt, from where I was sitting, which is a very comfortable seat in the main standing, Stoke, I hasten to add. We had a good day out, didn't we, Phil? The only thing that ruined it, as we suspected, was Stoke. I was quite surprised by Stoke. They actually played a little bit more football than we've become accustomed to lately, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they were still big and strong as Stoke have been over the years. But, they got it down and they could try to play it a bit as well. And if Ricardo Fuller had it in his contract, he was actually allowed to pass to a Stoke player, we could have been in trouble on a few more occasions. But luckily he tend to run up too many blind alleys and ended up, we kept him at arm's length pretty much. Ray, what did you think?
Well, I think the game turned on 2 points. Alan Lee's shocking miss in the first, 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
If they've had the said name striker we hope to have very soon, I'm sure we'd have missed that goal for starters, so that changed the game a bit. But also, our shot from Sumo in the second half was saved by the goalkeeper, whereas theirs wasn't. So,
yeah.
I thought generally... I hate to mention this, but did Jim get the wrong player from Plymouth, or was he looking at Hal Mosey, or has he got the wrong man?
Well, he's been chasing after Norwich for about 2 months, hasn't he?
You hope he had the right man after all the amount of time he's been following him. I thought he was actually all right on Saturday, more so than probably in his home matches, but made the point last week, he's going to be a bit more possibly of a slow burner than Szymanowski's been. He's come in and made a real impact.
Well, he has, and that's what I'm worried about. I'm sure he's a good player, I'm sure he will come good, but we need him to come good damn quick in the last 12 games if we want to get this promotion we all need.
Yes, and I think Paul Sturrock is going to be having a little chuckle to himself that they're now above us in the league after all the rigmarole that we went to find the fella. So he doesn't need to pull his finger out fairly sharpish and start to make the difference, so we hope he will.
Well, I think so. He's doing some basic things wrong. 50-50 balls he seems to be losing. I want to see a crunchy midfielder going to get the ball, and I think he's missing some of those tackles. His passing's good but not brilliant. I assume I'd say he's been far more impact on the team. He was a good player from day one, intelligent, runs into space, covers people, tackles hard, passes well, shoots well. I think he's a fabulous acquisition.
Competes in the air as well, we can add to that long list.
Yes,
and,
not afraid of that.
Absolutely a very good addition, and it's interesting to see where Garvin goes next. What happens to Garvin now? Miller's had his couple of games.
I thought Garvin looked fresh when he came on for those I thought he looked really fresh. He looked hungry. I thought he looked good. I think the rest is doing good, and I think we might see Garvin come in again now, perhaps for Miller. I know he's Jim's mate and he won't drop him, but Garvin I thought looked fresh and was very much beneficial from the rest.
A lot of youngsters playing a lot of football in a short space of time, as he has done over the last couple of years.
Exactly.
He's probably been due a couple of games, right?
Exactly.
It can make all the difference for him. He's been busy with Ireland as well.
We've got the squad to do that now.
A bit of squad rotation where we've not had it necessarily in the past.
We can do it, but I suspect he might come back in fairly soon now because I think he looked fresh and good.
Yeah.
Nice to have competition for places, though. I think you made the point last week. It's very nice that we've suddenly got a plethora of riches in the squad, and people are fighting for places, and people know that once their performance drops by a few percent, there's going to be someone in to take your shirt off them.
Well, if Nugget arrives, there will be competition up front, which we haven't had much competition so far. It's been pretty Pablo, Alan Lee, Pablo Lee, perhaps Walters, but there will be competition now, and it'll be great all the way through the team.
Absolutely, cat amongst the pigeons up front there, and all over the pitch you can play. Even full back spot, centre backs, now Naylor's back to fitness and has been doing quite well. I didn't think he was amazing against Stoke, to be honest. There's a couple of times I thought he looked a bit rusty or could have potentially cost us, but in the event, I think Tommy Miller, having just mentioned, he got back and made a vital challenge up on stage, and there's another one where he nearly got caught out but managed to get away with it.
So, what about this multi-ball thing? Should it be banned?
Well, I think Jim's point was that it wasn't being used consistently, and as soon as Stoke went a goal up, they started slowing it down, and if you're going to use it, it has to be applied fairly. Personally speaking, and this is from my standpoint as a rusty old traditionalist, I would say ban it, yeah. You have one ball, you play with that until you lose it or burst it, and that's it.
Too much Sunday morning football going on there.
Too much Sunday morning football, too much jacket for goalposts in my youth, when we had only one ball and the game ended when it burst.
But I think for the more cynical clubs out there, it's a ploy that they can use. I mean, West Ham used it very effectively in the playoffs. I think Alan Pardew, to the extent requested that the apprentice lads were the ball boys for the second leg playoff against us, and as soon as they got their couple of goals up, they disappeared. The balls would have taken an eternity to come back, and so it proved again on Saturday, and it's hard not to get frustrated with it. I guess no system's foolproof. If you just had the one ball and someone pumped it into the crowd, if you're a goal up and it goes into your supporters, they can take a while to throw it back and slow the game down themselves.
Without the Ipswich ones, just don't bother, just sit and watch the ball roll past them. Without the Ipswich ones, just don't bother, that's consistent to everybody.
Yeah.
I've never seen such a slow moving set of ball boys or girls in the league. Oh. Sorry, chaps, you should be trained a bit better.
This is controversial stuff. This is going to get the punters in. We're having a go at the ball boys now.
I can remember, speaking of having a go at the ball boys.
They are actually the ball roll and they just get up with their...
They amble after it, don't they?
Oh, it's shocking.
Too busy playing their PlayStations. So I can remember a Blackburn-Liverpool FA Cup game, probably 10, 15 years ago now.
Blackburn weren't a Premier League club
at the time. They were on the verge of knocking Liverpool out, and this little ball girl rushed after the ball, and it was 1-0 in the last minute, threw it to a Liverpool player. He threw the ball in before Blackburn had a chance to get back and get their shape, and 2 seconds later, the ball was in the back of the net, and I can't remember
Alan,
who
the... Alan Hansen.
It was Alan Hansen. Gave her a right pace.
That's been a great go at the ball girl. Fantastic. Talk about nicking kids, sweets from a small child. He was having a right wing at this ball.
You would have thought he'd be some other things there playing Liverpool. He'd be quite glad of the help.
We've got loads of texts and things, but we've got one about this. We got stitched up by the multi-ball system at West Ham in the playoffs. It's used to give advantage to the home side only, and it's totally unfair. Doesn't say where it's from, it's a number, but
yeah.
I agree, because I remember that. They were all like Lev Yashin of the ball boys. They could dive in full length and catch it, but when it came to Ipswich, they just probably laughed. Terrible.
It's a cynical ploy which cynical clubs use, and West Ham have used it to their advantage against us. Now Stoke, I think, if it can't be done properly and fairly, then the referee has got the power to withdraw the facility and just insist on the one ball being used. I don't think referees are strong enough to do that.
And it was a magnificent shot by Jim on Saturday, wasn't it? It was a world-class shot. I mean, he was getting a telling off. Jim was getting a telling off from the referee. We were right behind the dugout when it happened. And just as the referees trotted away in true Sunday League style, Jim shouted something which we believe was the T word at the referee. And the referee immediately turned round, showed in the stand, and then Jim had a strop down the sideline to the tunnel.
Good old fashioned flounce that was, wasn't it?
Well done, Jim. We salute you for that.
And it was quite funny that they were chucking candelabra at him, the Stoke fans. How they managed to get them in the ground, I'll never know. But
you thought he'd try and catch them, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
that's fan enclosure.
We got one. Cheshire Blue just reading a rumour that Harry is up for something. Is Harry up for something when he says Nugent will be going to Ipswich? Thinks the statement sort of blatant and out there. Is he up for something? Is he looking maybe to swap an Ipswich player, Danny Haynes for instance, or what about Shefty back? This is from Cheshire Blue. Any thoughts?
He's a sly old dog, that Redknapp. I wouldn't put much past him, to be honest.
He knows all the tricks, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I think he sounded quite reasonably honest when he was on the TV the other day. He said he's not made it in the team in these games, usually once games. I think he sounded pretty up front to me, and I, although we all like Harry as a Mr. Brown paper envelope man and A12 lay-by man, I think he's up front with that, and I think we'll probably have him on board by tomorrow. And he'll score his first goal against Southampton, which would be very good.
That'd be quite, that'd be very good.
Yeah. I remember A12 lay-by man, he was the worst superhero I ever read in a comic.
I think as well that, put me off now, have an image there. I think as well that if it's their equivalent of a Jordan Rhodes, someone who's not in the team but who's certainly got the talent and a few games at a lower level can be a catalyst for them improving. I mean, Mark Noble's loan spell with us at start early part of last season has absolutely worked wonders for his career. Look at him, he's a mainstay now of the West Ham side.
And England, obviously.
And England, absolutely, yeah. It's absolutely worked out for him. And if you look at some of the famous players Manchester United produced in the last 10 years, a lot of them have had a loan spell here or there to aid them along their way.
Beckham famously at Preston.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I had very mixed feelings when I first heard the news, because the Nugent rumour, because he's clearly, he's a very talented player, and he's a great striker, but I find it slightly hard, a little bit hard to figure out his antics. I mean, it's a bit like finding out that Darth Vader's on your fencing team, really, finding out that he's coming to Portland Road.
When he puts a couple of goals in down the North Stand.
Oh, we'll forget about that.
Especially against the team from up the road in April. Guess who went down the North Stand? I think we'll forgive him everything then, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
But he's got the horse. When he's got the horse where he wants the horse, on his chest, he'll be fine. I say he's a striker. They're a bit emotional. They're a little bit, frivolous. He scored goals. He's happy. I think what you'll get from him is 110%. He'll want to score goals. He'll want to make his name. He'll want to make his mark. If we do go up, let's hope what he gets us, we could even buy him next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good for everybody, and I think if he can get us 10 goals in the 12 games, that could be the difference between going up, as I've said many times on this programme, Mr. B.
Yes, right.
Quality striker is what we needed, and I've got one last
year.
So why no more, Graham?
Yeah, well, Rina Mackey is coming with two things. Does Ray still want a striker? And multi-ball, keep it simple, it's all for one or one for all, i.e. you'll do it or no one does it, sort of,
yeah,
which is fair enough.
I think the whole multi-ball thing is just about keeping the tempo high, isn't it?
Yeah, you either throw it in quickly for everyone or you just don't do it at all.
And the ball boys had talent on the open notice as well, so every time
Rory DeLapp
was winding up one of his extra sets from the side, he had a nice dry ball to hurl in rather than... I bet you bottom dollar they weren't doing the same if it is an Ipswich player.
Is that my Avon order at the door, by the way?
Yeah, that's Avon calling. No one remembers that. Scott Candidge from North Dakota in the States, would you believe? With Nugent all but certain to come in, she'll be known Jordan Rhodes out somewhere to get him some proper football. I think he's a great addition to the Ipswich side, but it seems not to be on the card this year. We're talking about Rhodes, I presume. So, anyone think he ought to go out?
I can't see what a 3-month loan period.
Spell it somewhere like Cambridge can.
He's not going to get in the side with three or four strikers.
No, he's got Pablo, Alan Lee, Danny Haynes, Henderson, and potentially Nugent.
Yeah. Walters, if he needs to go,
in a
desperate state.
Yeah,
I think he's somewhere like my second little love, Rochdale. Maybe go to Rochdale, bang a few goals in up there, get them into the playoffs. George, it's lovely up there, the pies are great, you'll love it.
And it was the first town in England to have a co-op, of course.
And Gracie Fields, what I mentioned, they'll love us.
Ah, yes, Rochdale.
Mariner says, behave, you lot, just because one player's had a bad game, you lot start slagging him. I presume he's talking about Norris. And he says, are you a Chelsea fan in disguise?
I didn't slag Norris off, did I?
Possibly hasn't made as great an impact as maybe.
I think you don't become a bad player overnight. Class is permanent, form is temporary, I think is the phrase.
Yeah. We didn't slag him off, we merely said his impact hasn't been as great as Sumo's.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're trying to say. I think we all agree on that.
I think Dan Harding, rather on the subject of people getting picked on, was harshly done by, I think, at the Charlton away game, where he was subbed at half time for having little or no protection in front of him and getting doubled up on every time Charlton went on the attack. But then again, the mistake he gets at Stoke on Saturday cost us the points. I mean, it was a duck clearance, these things happen, and you could tell by his reaction. As soon as the ball hit the net, he's put his head in his hand and he knew what he was done. But if he's been made an example of before, and then that happens to him, he's just going to do his confidence no good at all. So it would be interesting to see how...
He won't get a shot at that again, Matt. Yeah. That was on. It was like I felt a bit sorry for Dan there, because he's been under pressure. Cito did well. I think Cito could well have kept his place.
Yeah.
But Jim brought Dan back, and he's done well. I mean, at Palace, obviously, his nemesis at Palace is superb at Palace. Best performance ever in the town shirt. So I think we've got competition there now. Cito and Harding are really fighting for that spot.
Yeah.
David Wright can't get into the team at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was our most consistent player all the year through.
Absolutely, yeah.
But he can't get in the team. Garner can't get in the team.
Yeah.
You know, we have now, as we've said before, got great competition. We just need to get some momentum going, and goals win matches, goals win prizes. And whilst we mustn't put everything on Nugent's shoulders, he will certainly help us in that respect.
Yeah.
What about the case for Cito coming back? I mean, Harding didn't have the greatest of games at Stoke, did he? And you know, in fact, he cost the goal as well, didn't he, to be honest?
And as Ray said, Cito was possibly a little bit unlucky to have got dropped the first time out. So it was a very even battle now for left back, as it is right back. I mean, Alex Bruce and David Wright. I mean, David Wright possibly
lost his places
and lack of inches, and Alex Bruce goes with something a bit bigger, something a bit taller against the bigger sides. And they've also got Fabian Milnes, who's still can do a very effective job for us in either spot across the back four.
Man of the match at QPR apparently yesterday, in the reserves they played, and
Southend there, right?
He's man of the match apparently, Fabian.
Yes,
there was an old kit report or not, but he was man of the match, so still which is why I like him putting his effort in. He's not just taking his money and playing it easy, he puts in an effort and does work hard, and I like that and admire that. And whether he gets another year's contract next year, who knows?
Yeah, I hope he does. I'd like him to do the 10 years and get a testimonial, because he's done well for us over the years, as Fabian. He's another mixed up role. The fullbacks are never going to be headline grabbers, but you get commitment out of them over a prolonged period such as that. It's nice if they can be rewarded for it.
Yeah, good professional.
Simon, Little Mullet, what about Bam Bam for captain? I'm sure I imagine he's talking about when DeVos leaves at the end of the season.
Well, you're having your captain to be a first automatic first choice pick. I don't think Bam Bam is that, certainly at the moment. And no matter what happens in the summer, if DeVos does hang his boots up, is one or two of the rumours suggest he might, someone will come in his place. But even so, I don't think Naylor will then be an automatic choice at all.
Yeah, the next captain begins with N.
Yeah.
The one who allegedly slagging off, he was our captain.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. You know, such a similar character to Matt Holland.
Yeah, exactly what the analogy I was going to make, and Matt Holland alike, isn't he? And I think Matt Holland came in and was a slow burner and proved to be a very much a very important member of the side. And it's a very similar situation, a prolonged transfer saga. Eventually we got our man, paid a pretty penny for him. And he's going to come good and be one of the main stars of the side. And I think certain players you can spot a mile off a groom for a certain
vocation in life. I would say that if Naylor did get a run of the side and he was handed the captaincy, he certainly got the requisite leadership qualities as a player, I think, you know. And also he's lovely serving player at the club, got the club close to his heart, you know.
Until he gets an ingrown toenail or some other daft injury that keeps him out for a year.
Until he falls out of his loft or something.
Actually, talking about the Stoke game, we were lucky enough to have a tour around the ground beforehand as part of this hospitality package we were on. An interesting fact is right at the top of the stand, they've got some executive boxes, which are called the skybox, And one of the wags in our group said it was so-called because they're the most expensive seats in the house, because you've got the best view of the ball up there, because that's where you spend most of the time.
Did we know that was coming? We could read the script.
Sorry.
But also, we got to go into the dressing rooms a few hours before kick-off, didn't we, Phil?
We didn't.
And here's a little secret. The town players actually are given wine gums before they go out. Are you wine gums or jelly babies?
Both, I think.
Or both. And this is an hour before the game, so they get sugar into their bodies and the energy, you know, they've got more energy to run around. Although a couple of our players who shall remain nameless did look as if they had scoffed the entire packet before the game. And thanks to the kit lads at Portman Road, by the way, who let us in.
We had a few photos taken of the shirts, and also went in the home dressing rooms, and one of the daughters of the guest that we took thought it'd be funny to wave Liam Robinson's pants around her head, so...
we knew we should have put kitchen powder in.
What's wrong with a good old pub, eh, lads?
Every once in a while.
See how the other half is.
Probably alcoholic wine gums, anyway. Rowena Mackie, what about Trotter? Is that worth sending him out on loan, do you think? Because, I mean, he's not going to get a look in either, is he?
There's only an injury suspension away from our opening for him there, because he's still been in the squad. He's been travelling with he travelled with a party up for Stoke, even though he wasn't actually named in the 16. I don't think he's a million miles away from a spot on the... certainly on the bench, if not in the team. I think I'd probably even wager he's ahead of Williams in the queue.
We're ahead of Williams in the queue, unfortunately. I do like Williams.
I'm a striker.
Williams is a forgotten man, isn't he? He's gone downhill and he's forgotten man I used to think he was a very good player when he used to play many months ago. But I think he's got in his head now he wants to leave. He looks like he wants to leave. I think probably in the summer he will leave.
Yeah, that injury did him no favours at all, did it, pre-season?
He's been plagued by injury, and the times when he has been injury-free and he has played, he has looked a quality player. He really has.
I don't think he's a bad player. Yeah.
He's not a bad player.
But him and Darwin in the centre midfield towards the end of last season, that looked pretty much a class act, and for the rule, except for Williams to have a good pre-season and hit the ground running to carry on that form. That was the end of him. And I think he's heading towards the Dormark exit now, especially with these new lads coming in as well. But no, I think Trotter's going to be one for the next few years. With he's just signed his new contract. Magilton clearly thinks there's a future for him at the club, as he does placement, which is interesting.
We've got a kind of new piece of young players coming through, and I think that's a great thing, as a club back in the 70s and 80s, and I must confess I'm there for all of the 70s and 80s, one of the strengths of the team is we bought through these homegrown players, and I think that's something we should certainly be looking at in the future, and we've got some great players. I mean, I'm a big fan of Charles in particular. I think he's
I do like him,
and from what, obviously we haven't seen much of Jordan Rose, but from what I've heard of him, he's a superstar of the future.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere a little while back, he's picked as one of the all-time greats that have come through our system. If he continues to go at the rate he has been progressing,
it's crazy.
He's not quite there yet. But
if you watch him, he just looks like an average player, but he just seems to have a knack for scoring goals, doesn't he?
Well, career has been built on that.
Right place, right time, 6-yard tapping.
If he can score 30 goals a season and have only 31 touches in the season, as great as goals in the matches.
I think the other thing that aligned with that, what you said about the youth, the other thing that even the chairman mentioned last week, and I'm glad to see him mention it, was the overseas scouts network's been started again. They're going to get that overseas network going, spend money, get some scouts abroad, and that combined with the youth coming through, I think should help just, give us a lot of optimism for the future. So if we do go up, and I certainly hope we will do now, we're going to come straight back down.
Yeah.
And I'm really encouraged by that.
Yeah, and if we can add some more genders, Macedonian friend, then so much the better for it.
Well, get his mates out on the road to the old baker shop where he gets his mates over, because they're all cheap. Cheap isn't nasty, cheap can be good.
Yeah, if you look in the right places.
Exactly.
Right, here's a bit of a contentious one, which I had earlier actually, from Alan from Ipswich. I think Drogba, this is a change of subject slightly, but I think Drogba should be strung up after his usual rolling round antics in the Carling Cup final last week, especially bearing in mind the serious injury to Eduardo the day before. The man is a disgrace. Does anyone agree?
Well, I certainly do. Confess here, I did not see the incident, because I don't have Sky Television, although I do have some Tottenham ancestry in my family. But I certainly see that a player rolling around trying to get someone deliberately sent off. Let's face it, he's cheating. I don't like to use that word, but he's cheating. And I think the sooner he gets stamped out, the better. I think, it's not something we do in this country, without wishing to sound a little bit upper class, but it's not something we do in this country.
Well, you sound like old git now.
Well, yeah.
Not proper.
But I think especially after that injury to Eduardo, I mean, he didn't start rolling around, did he?
The initial reaction was to get up again, and then you realise what happened.
Exactly, but most people who are seriously injured can't roll around, and there's people like Drogba,
that's not right.
No, not in Britain,
thank you.
And I think that referees have started to see through it possibly better than they have in the past these days. I mean, Andy Johnson at Ellison, rightly or wrongly, has got a reputation for, should we say, going down rather easily. And I think David Moyes made the point they've not had a single penalty all year, which for one of the higher scoring sides in the Premier League is quite bizarre. Then it might be because refs are being over compensating the other way and not giving them, even when they're a genuine foul. The old case of Crying Wolf and...
But they're also inclined to do it for time wasting, and if you're rolling around saying you're hurt, the referees can't really say you're not, can they? Yeah. This is a problem.
I like comedy rugby toff Will Carling once suggested that if a player is rolling around and feigning an injury, then the nearest opposition player should be able to kick him while on the ground. That's Will Carling's point of view, not mine, readers.
Well, the Watford game was probably the most cynical and blatant example of it ever. I can't remember who the fellow was now, but towards the end of the game in front of the Britannia stand, he went down, he was rolling about.
Henderson?
It could have been Henderson. And Bursa didn't want to allow the didn't want to allow the physio on, and he stayed down for so long.
Well, because I mean, he was just referee, basically. That's where the referee of from hell.
No yeah. argument from me.
He's a shocking ref, isn't he?
And also Essex, I believe, isn't it?
He's been a Ricky Thicke, I think.
He's been a Ricky Thicke, yeah.
He's a better referee.
The best thing to get better promoted is that we won't have all the Premiership reject refs anymore. We might have the decent ones.
Mark Halsey, you mean?
Oh, God.
It's controversial again.
I thought we weren't supposed to use foul language in the studio.
Sorry.
The problem is, being in the Championship, all the refs aren't good enough to cut the mustard at the Premiership or the Premier League get relegated down to our levels. We have to put up with them. It's all right for the refs who are up and coming and making a name for themselves who go on to be promoted upwards, but the ones who are coming back the other way, to be honest, are worse ones a lot.
Well, before we'll go on to the Southampton game, but before we do, can we ask Phil and Tim if they can give him a lift on Saturday? That's from Muncher.
No, he bloody can't.
Here's your answer.
He's a curse, that bloke. If anybody ever gets approached by this, an acquaintance, well, a friend of ours, will
if Muncher ever asks you for a lift, the answer is no.
No, just say no.
This is the man at Reading. We're 1-0 up. We score a goal in the 91st minute. And Muncher's with us. He's going to see his first away victory for the town. And Reading still managed to equalise before the end of the game.
I think his record is something like 20-25 away games. He's never seen us win. Yeah, he went to Wembley, but that's not technically an away game. It's a neutral venue. I mean, he's been to 20-odd away games and never seen us win, so...
In fact, I think he should be subject to an away match banning order.
issue a photo of him to steward every away game.
If the police are listening,
this man in
get in touch. We'll give you the details.
Well, you mentioned him on the railway, on the radio, so I think you pretty much finished off any chance of these guys at Southampton, haven't you, really?
Sorry, man.
Do you want to quickly talk about Southampton while in the last couple of minutes?
Nugent winner, 88.
If he gets there in time.
A Nugent brace, I think. Mark 2-0 win. Nugent deal could get wrapped up tomorrow with any luck.
Yeah,
straight in the side. A couple of goals. That will amuse the locals no end, I'm sure.
And an ear cuffing celebration.
Yeah.
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 Or the old finger to the lips jump, I think.
Yeah, any one of the above, I think, yeah. And be interesting to see our friend Jermaine Wright again. I think he's been playing fullback for them.
He scored a blinding goal for Bristol Rovers, didn't he, in the cup?
He scored a cracker, didn't he? What a shin into the top corner. And Kelvin Davis, obviously, as well, who was always a bit of a funny one, I thought, for us. He's reliable most of the time, isn't it? Then he was prone to the odd rush of blood to the head of the keeper sometimes.
QPR at home, Watford at home.
Exactly, West Ham at home. There's a little list of them, but on the whole, I thought he was fairly solid for us. But
I'll say, if he's out of contract in the summer, we might just be back here next year.
Yeah, possibly.
If he's out of contract, I'm not sure if he's out of contract, I was just posed the question.
But he left in 2005, so assuming he signed a 3-year deal, then yeah, quite possibly he's up in the summer. But no, I mean, Southampton are no great shape in this division, are they?
Must win game.
It's got draw written all over it.
No, I mean, we need to pick up points away from home. If we can win at Crystal Palace, who are quite a tough side, if we can win at Sheffield Wednesday, who probably about the same barometer of a side as Southampton, then an invigorated strike force inspired by Mr Nugent can do his mercy on the way to 3 points, I think.
Well, we've got a week off next week, which is nice.
Yeah, well, we've got the blunts, haven't we, on Tuesday.
No game on the Saturday.
No game on the Saturday.
If Nugent has got a strike problem, get into the next 2 days, he's got 10 days off.
We've got another week, isn't he, because we play Tuesday. We've got Barnsley away on the Tuesday, the 10th, 11th, whatever date that is.
Having talked the guy up, we've kind of got to hope he comes now. We're going to look a bit stupid if he doesn't turn up.
Yeah, if he appears up below 140, which I'm sure he wouldn't be, do such a stupid thing.
Oh,
I think it's nailed on. I think they'd already set this deal before the transfer deadline was finished, actually. I think they tried to buy him as well, but Harry wouldn't let him go. He's got his boys back from Africa now. They're all safe and well. They're not injured. So I think this deal's been set up probably a long time ago.
Yeah, he's brought Barros and Defoe into Bolton.
Yeah,
strike force there, so,
back.
But I think... yeah, I think he could prove that he was a catalyst as Marcus Stewart was 6, 7, 8 years ago now it was. It's all set up there now. Let's just hope we can part of the
winding up noises.
Winding up noises before we completely wind up. Quick prediction, just a result each, Ray.
I'll go 1-0.
1-0.
I'll go for a 2-0 draw.
2-0 draw.
And I'll have 2-0.
2-0. I won't say as usual. So on that note, thanks to everyone. Thanks to Phil. Thanks for Vulture. Thanks for Raimondo for stepping in at the last minute. Hope you get better, Phil. Phil's got a message for you, by the way, Vulture, which I'll read you out afterwards. It's too insulting to read on air. Thanks to everyone who emailed. Till next week, have a good one. Take care, everyone. Bye.